Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Score! Alex Ovechkin still going strong, overpowering at 600. Score! Backstrom has tied it. Connolly fires. Rebound doorstep. It's in!
Save baby! Washington Capitals are the 2018 Stanley Cup champions.
Hey everybody, welcome into our newly rebranded Capitals Talk podcast, as we are now officially in the week when the cap season will open. We have our day with the Caps on Thursday. It's media day on Friday, and then Sunday is the first preseason game. It is here. The champs are back, and they're going to defend their title. I am Rob Perlin. I am here with our TV pre and post game producer, Ryan Billy. Billy, I talked with Mike Vogel from the Caps. It's a great conversation. And he said his summer was never so short. He's never enjoyed it anymore. I mean, what a great, fun summer talking about specifically your team, your childhood favorite team.
My team
that won the cup. How's your summer been?
Short. I can't believe. We were talking around the office, like, next week there's a game. There's a game coming up, which is crazy, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, I can't tell you how many times this summer, whether it was at work or I was at the beach a couple weeks ago, I would just look at my phone and just watch a goal. Eller's over, double overtime winner. Kuzi's. I just would do it, just put a smile on my face. I must have done that 5-6 times a week. Just because. And it never once got old.
I can't tell you how many fans on Twitter, if I would tweet something out about how many days till the new season or how many days it's been since they won the cup or whatever, or one of our specials came on, the Caps Day with the Cup, or the parade would re-air or something, and someone would tweet me and say, I've watched it every day.
It's amazing how much joy and excitement people still get from watching the parade. That, you know, that thing is rerun, I don't know, God knows how many times. And they always see people commenting on Twitter like, watch the parade again. It's awesome. Yeah. It is. It's the best.
It is. This whole experience.
I kind of want the summer just to go on forever for a lot of reasons. Except for, I'm glad my kids are back at school.
Oh.
But other than that, I want the summer to go on forever.
I'm with you on that. So my sister texted me the day that the girls went back to school and said, how does it feel to be the dad of first graders? I said, great, because it means they're in school.
Yes.
Yes, the last week grinded to a halt.
Big
yes.
Times.
Favorite thing that you saw from the Caps and their days with the Cup or whatever since the night of June 7th?
Ooh, there are too many to mention. I would say some of the smaller ones that kind of, you know, obviously it was great to see Ovi in Russia with the Cup and all the guys in their hometowns. It was great to see some of the lesser-known guys, to see Woody with the Cup in Annapolis. And a bunch of, like, the staffers.
And you live in Annapolis. I live in Annapolis. Yeah. I feel like everyone I know saw it.
They all have a story from that day.
Picture, yeah. Everyone was documenting where he was.
My next-door neighbor was sending me pictures from Davis's Pub, which is an awesome little joint in Annapolis, and they were passing it. It was awesome. Those are the ones, like, you know, obviously, you know, the players, those are great moments. And certainly seeing Oshie go home and with his family and all the guys with their family was very cool. And it's everything you hoped it would be. Because after you win the cup, you think about, like, oh, those days are going to be so cool. And they were. But you forget that the guys behind the scenes get it, too. You know, it was cool to see Sergei, the PR guy who we work with all the time. He got to go home with it and took it out west with his family or whatever. And that was awesome. I talked to him about it, and he said it was a day he will never forget. And it's very cool.
Yeah, and Mike Vogel was there for most, if not all of it, 10 different trips. And I spoke with Bogues. He's down in Florida at the Prospect Showcase. He corrected me. It's not the Prospect Challenge.
It is
the Prospect
Showcase.
Tournament. It is the Prospect Showcase. So we'll talk about Caps prospects, including a couple of their big name guys who will be in Hershey this year, and some of his experiences with the Stanley Cup. Here is Mike Vogel in Florida. Well, Vogues, let's start where you are right now, which is down in Florida for the Prospects Challenge, Prospects Tournament, the quick three games with Nashville and Tampa. And we're recording this on Monday at 4 o'clock, and I watched the last couple of minutes of the second period right after the Shane Gersich goal, and then the whole third period by the time I finally found it on my phone because it wasn't up and running early. But, you know, I started right after Gersich scores again, second game in a row, and I guess the first thing that jumped out to me is, well, good, he should sort of be dominating, and I put that in quotes, a tournament like this after what he showed us last year in the NHL. Have you kind of seen what we'd hope to see from a Shane Gersich in this kind of tournament?
I thought he was better today than on Saturday even. I thought really pretty much everybody on the team to a man was a little bit better today, probably just a byproduct of being a little more comfortable, number one, having an extra practice session. They were off game-wise on Sunday, so they spent an hour at the rink going through some more structural type stuff. After Saturday's game, Spencer Carberry, the Bears' new head coach, who is running the bench at this tournament, him and his staff, he told us that for the first game, he didn't want to give them too much to bite off. He didn't give them anything structurally, just told them to go out, showcase their skills. And that's actually the name of the tournament, Prospect Showcase. I know I had a hard time picking it up there too, but so it was a little more of a shinny. So they lost that one 5-4. They actually had a 3-1 lead with a few seconds left in the second period, gave up a goal with about 13 seconds left, and that was the first of three unanswered on their way to the loss. But, you know, it's really not about results down here. And so I would say, yeah, you know, Gersich, as far as age and experience, is probably ahead of a lot of these guys down here. But you know what, Rob? The Caps, of the three teams here, they're easily the youngest team here, and they were recently by Corey Promen of The Athletic, who I think does a really good job of analyzing prospects throughout the NHL. He actually rated the Caps 31st out of 31 teams in terms of what's in the cupboard for them prospect-wise. And this was after the 2018 draft. And, you know, I mean, coming off a cup win, I don't think that worries the Caps too much. But they are, you know, working on restocking that system, and it is going to take some time. They've had a couple drafts recently where they've only had four picks. They did get seven picks this year. So they're starting to restock. But six of those seven picks they made this year, six of those guys are here, whereas Tampa only has two of its 18 picks this year, two of its 2018 picks, I should say. And Nashville only has one of its 2018 draftees here. So Caps by far with the younger squad here, but they've certainly done more than hold their own against you know, a couple of other pretty elite high echelon teams in the league. So yeah, Gersich is definitely one of the guys who stood out, but he's far from alone. I really liked the top three defensemen today, those being Jonas Siegenthaler, Martin Fervari, and Alexander Alexeyev. You know, obviously, great game for Ilya Samsonov, who had a 21-save shutout. But the defense was really, really good in front of them. They were good at breaking pucks out. They didn't spend a lot of time in their own end. They kept the Lightning the perimeter for the most part, and they got in shooting and passing lanes, and they blocked a fair number of shots. It was really a strong performance all around. And worth noting too that, you know, two of the best Caps defensemen on the roster and two of the most experienced, and those being Connor Hobbs and Lucas Johansson, neither one of those guys even dressed today. So they didn't even dress their top squad. No real reason for those guys to play all three games since they know what those guys are all about.
So as you say that, you know, this is the first time that I'm intrigued by Hershey in maybe since I've been covering the team. It's always been sort of like a 4A, to use a baseball term. Like there's guys down there, there might be a prospect that might make his way with some sort of intrigue. But like now you look, considering the 31st out of 31 teams rate ranking they got, there's guys, and a lot of them you just mentioned, that all of a sudden you go, oh, okay, I'm intrigued to see what he's going to look like. I'm intrigued to see how he performs in Hershey, and that hasn't been the case in a long time. Let's quick cycle back on Gersich. I would love to see him get some time with the big club this year. I think he showed flashes last year, certainly that speed, but probably for the progression of his career, probably best to start at Hershey and get consistent quality minutes. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think all things being equal, I do agree. And I think, Rob, too, that the Caps have made a conscious decision over the last few years here. They've really altered the way they go about their business in terms of development and what they're doing down in Hershey with thickening the staff as far as video and medical and things like that, and assistant coaches and an extra development guy. They've really put an emphasis on it. And they started doing that in the 15-16 season because they had a huge influx of first-year players that year. They had, I want to say, 7, maybe even 8 guys who were starting their pro careers that year. And, you know, the season started a little sluggish for them, but it really took off, and they wound up going all the way to the Calder Cup final before they were finally ousted by the Lake Erie Monsters. It was a sweep, but all 4 of the games were close. So it was a sweep that wasn't as decisive as a sweep normally looks on paper. Now you look at this year, this is a team, this Hershey team, that when I look at it, could have as many as 7 first-year forwards on its roster. So we're talking about like a similar influx to what we saw in terms of sheer numbers of first-year players in 15-16. But this time, that whole group being forwards, I think they're going to return pretty much the same defense. And they're going to have Ilya Samsonov probably. I would expect him to start there as well. I think similar to Gersich's situation, you'd want him to get his feet wet at that level. And he's also dealing with, you know, he's a guy who's been in the KHL and is dealing with a narrower rink now, 15 feet. So angles are going to be different. That's going to take a little more time for him to get straight as far as pucks coming at him from different angles and also just getting used to, players. That one of the things that Braden Holtby is so good at is reading shots as they come off sticks, and a lot of that's repetition where, you know, you're facing the same shooters, same players year after year. You pick up on that. That's going to take a while for Samsonov to build that sort of a library for himself. So I really think that when you factor in how young the Bears are going to be this year, especially up front, and then you take into the account the fact that I think it's 5 of the 7 guys the Caps drafted this year are late birthdays and therefore could turn pro as early as next year. Doesn't mean they will, doesn't mean they have to, but they could. These next 2 seasons in Hershey could be interesting in terms of, you know, how many of these guys do have what it takes to get to the next level.
Yeah, because even though Caps and Caps fans don't necessarily care right now because they won the Cup, that's all anyone cares about. Eventually, there's a 2 or 3 year window where they might make another couple of runs at this, but you got to start seeing who these kids are and whether they could be the next wave of Caps. And a couple of guys that you mentioned already, when I watched them today, and again, it was like a period and a half on a you know, lousy stream where it's a pretty tight shot. You don't get to see much of the rink.
Right.
Samsonov didn't jump out other than he got a 21 save shutout, made a couple of nice saves towards the end of the third period. Wasn't really tested much. Made one off of a turnover where he went left to right to knock one away. Hard to get a read on him. It didn't look like his movements were as smooth as Braden Holtby, but then again, Holtby's one of the best in the world, so it's a tough comparison. But between him and two guys that I wrote down that jumped out, you mentioned, and Alexiev, who dropped the mitts in the first game, just looks like a big, fluid skating, not afraid to step up and get into the action. I liked him. He's the first-round pick. Fayarvi, the second-round pick this year, also jumped out at me. And one other guy, it seemed like his name was just being called a lot, was Juuso Ikonen. Give me your take on those couple of guys, and then if there was one other, but I know that I'm throwing a lot at you, but specifically on Alexiev, Fejarvi, Ekinen, and then what'd you think of Samsonov?
Yeah, I agree on all counts there. Alexiev's been really good for me in both games. I thought he was one of the best guys on Saturday, and again, that was a game where not everybody was quite up to their I don't think their peak. But yeah, I've been real impressed with Alexiev. He skates well. He sees the game well. He's pretty sharp out there, I think. To me, I think for him, probably the biggest thing is just maybe making himself a little more muscular. He does have good size and everything, but I'm not sure how much attention he's paid to conditioning up to this point in his career. And I think that, give him some time with the strength and conditioning coaches at the AHL and NHL levels here in North America, and put him on a program and give him 6 months. And I think you'll even see a more firm player in the back end there. But certainly he seems to know what to do with the puck in all three zones and how to handle himself out there. So very impressive. Fejarvi, what a skater this kid is. He really moves across the ice well. And this is bad ice here, Rob. A lot of humidity down here. They were constantly delaying the game here today to patch up this one spot in the slot area at one end of the rink. There were two or three separate delays that were, several minutes each. So I thought he was much more assertive offensively, too. When you look at his numbers and you read the scouting reports, it almost leads you to think, well, if this guy were to make it to the NHL, he'd probably put up, Carl Alexner type numbers. But he didn't look like that to me. He looked like he wanted to be involved, and he was really pushing the pace today, I thought. And I thought he was absolutely, as I mentioned, really back at the top, along with those two. And Siegenthaler, who didn't play on Saturday, Siegenthaler was really good today in terms of there were two occasions on which he was headed back on as the lone guy on a two-on-one and not necessarily backing in one circumstance. And both times he was able to break up the play smartly without a shot on net or a scoring chance being involved. And on one of those occasions was able to turn the puck right back up in transition and get a face-off at the other end within two or three seconds after. Ekinen, yes. Smallest guy on the ice, 5'8", 172, played at Brenus last year, which is in Nicholas Backstrom's hometown of Gävle, Sweden. And this guy's got a motor. He is one of those energizer bunny type of players where he just keeps going. And I like the way he plays way bigger than his size for me. I thought he was he doesn't shy away from the corners of the rink at all. Goes in there, gets his nose dirty, digs pucks out. And he looks like he's got a little bit of skill, too. I would like to see how he handles the puck on a better sheet of ice. I think a lot of guys really struggled with puck handling, but I don't necessarily think it was a fault of theirs. I would like to see how he does on a better sheet. But I think he's a guy who certainly showed enough that I'd be interested to see his progression in Hershey this year. And again, the one thing about tournaments like this is, if you're a guy who's in his 20s, early 20s, like Ursich and Ekinen, you're supposed to stand out because a lot of these kids are 18, 19 years old. And then, if you're an 18 or 19 year old kid and you're standing out, you're like, well, yeah, but you're still playing against peers. Let's see what happens on Friday when you're playing against men for the first time. So that's what we always say at this year. These tournaments they're useful, but you can't read too much into them. And the main purpose of them is just to get these guys some ice, some idea of system and structure and what's going on away from the rink as well, culture, all that kind of stuff, bonding. But really, it's to give them a little bit of a leg up and give them some level of comfort so they're not just hitting the ice for the first time on Friday, going up against the likes of Alex Ovechkin and John Carlson, Nicholas Backstrom, et cetera.
We went down the rabbit hole there of the prospects who will likely never see a sheet of ice in Washington, D.C. for years, and that's because we've got the champs here, and the champs are not done. They've lived with a bullseye on their back for the better part of 10 years, but this is different because now everyone's gunning for them. Before we get to this season, you've had one of the best seats in the house for all of this. You're on the inside. You see everything. And you made a lot of these trips with the players' days with the Cup, and you were telling me about one of them before we started recording. I was exhausted listening to it and also very jealous of the whole experience. Just tell us about that day.
Well, I got to go to 10 Cup days this summer. So
10 Cup days. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had a fair amount of time, and I would have loved to have gone to all of them. But as I told you, it's physically not possible to for any one human to go everywhere the Cup goes, because the days are too long, and the Cup has no need for food or sleep, and the rest of us mere mortals, unfortunately, we do. So, there was a lot of crazy travel involved, and there was one time where we thought the Cup was not going to be allowed to get on the plane with us.
Why?
That was in Moscow. They said it weighed too much. And the Cup guys that were telling us, hey, you know, we had to cancel a flight and get on another carrier last year because same thing happened. But we were, there was some stuff that went on. Sergei Kucherov managed to talk to them in the native language. And while he was doing that, nice little distraction, I think the Cup guys asked for a reweigh, and they may have tilted the scales slightly. There was I'm not saying it was entirely fair, but we did what had to be done to get the up on the bird and get it to Michael Kempney. And it wound up getting to Kempney 3 hours late because of a delay in flight, you know, nothing that we could do. And you probably heard that Dmitry Orlov, his day was majorly delayed because they put the Cup on the wrong plane.
Oh.
And it went to Moscow instead, and they had to helicopter it in. There's all kinds of things that these guys deal with, that the Cup guys, they're real true pros at knowing what to do at a moment's notice when, let's say, someone tries to lift it who shouldn't, or, you know, you run into a significant travel problem. So it was a real treat to watch those guys work, and they're great hockey historians too. So just a lot of great stories and a lot of fun. The one that I was telling you about was where we had a flight from Toronto to Copenhagen on a Tuesday night as a red eye flight. So basically the plane is your hotel room. And, you know, you're trying to get as much sleep as you can get because you got to get off the plane and go right to start Lars Eller's 15-hour day with the Cup. And when you do, you're going to be wearing the clothes that you put on the day before in Toronto for the duration. And you're going to be doing it on whatever sleep you can manage.
And you do it happily with a smile on your face, man.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter. You don't care. You know, you're dragging, but you see people that are, you know, this thing makes so many people happy. It's unreal the power this thing has. If you see it in a group situation, or if you see it like I was in Red Square when Alex Ovechkin carried it there, it's such a magnet for people. It's like the Pied Piper.
And I heard I heard most of that was just Ovi sort of off the cuff. Like, that was not that.
It was
planned.
Impromptu. It wasn't on the schedule at all. It was a last minute decision that he just decided. There was no advance notice. It was at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon local time there, and he just wandered in, and you know, people were like, "Oh my God, am I really seeing what I'm seeing right now? Is that the actual Stanley Cup?" And they just start flocking to it. And when we got out into the middle of the square, he had to shout and tell people to back off a little bit and spread out. And then he hoisted it right there. It's a huge applause. And if you see the shot that somebody in our crew got, it definitely wasn't me because I'm a terrible photographer, but somebody managed to get this great shot of St. Basil's Cathedral in the background, Ovechkin with the Cup proudly hoisted in the air, and dozens of cell phones hoisted up, also trying to capture the same exact image. Stuff like that. Seeing Jacob Vrana carry it through the town square of Prague just as the sun is going down, and the same thing happening. You know, just all these people coming up, and this woman just grabs my arm and she goes, "Oh my God, is that Stanley Cup?"
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And she goes, "You are kidding me." And you just wonder, like, people, I guess, aren't always aware, but they always know what it is. You know, I'm not sure if you could say that about the Lombardi Trophy or the World Series Trophy. People know that, you know, what the Super Bowl is and the World Series, but the Stanley Cup is so iconic, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows what it is. It resonates with everybody, and it really, really means a lot to these guys and their families and their billet families and the youth hockey players they played with and the coaches that coached them all the way through. So to be able to see, it's like going to 10 amazing wedding receptions.
Right.
And with, I might add, the requisite eating and drinking that goes along with all of those too. So yeah, it was a hell of a summer, Rob, and I'll happily do it again next summer if they want to.
Oh, I'll take care of that for me. Yeah, I'll sign up for that 2-month run of the playoffs. I've said it over and over. It was the most fun I've ever had in my professional career, and I wasn't as near on the inside as you were, but just being wrapped up in it day after day for 2 straight months and having it all culminate on the ice that night in Vegas, and you know, I've talked about it. I would say almost every day, because whenever I meet someone who finds out what I do, they want to hear the story all over again. And I would say, whatever, we've been 13 weeks or so since they won it, I'd say at least 4 to 5 times a week, I'm talking about that experience in one way, shape, or form, or the night they won the cup. And I was out at, I almost said Kettler, at MedStar the other day, and I talked with Matt Niskanen, and I said, look, all of you guys, every kid that's ever laced up skates with dreams of playing in the NHL, dreams of winning the Stanley Cup and lifting that thing over your head, was it better than your dreams? And you know Niskanen, who's such, like, he's a thoughtful guy. He's going to give you an answer to your question. He's not going to give you some BS. And he just kind of looked at me, and was, you know, that kind of little, like, Matt Niskanen smile. He's like, it was so much better. You know, it was so much better than I even thought it would be.
Well, 2 things. First off, I know exactly that look and that smile you're talking about from Niski. But second thing, I would answer that question unequivocally and quickly in the same exact way. I mean, for me, it was revelatory. I've been doing this for, you know, almost 25 years now. And you think, you know, you follow hockey, you're a huge fan and everything, and you think you understand, but you know, what it means to win the Stanley Cup. And then it happens to the team that you're covering, and you realize you really didn't know. It's bigger than your dreams ever were. And it's crazy, but it's so illuminating in so many ways. Like for me right away, 2 things became crystal clear. Number one, why it's so hard to repeat. The summer is so incredibly short. And I could see that on June 7th, you know, at that point, other teams have already had basically the summer that you're going to get, but right, they're also going to get your summer too. So then also the celebratory nature of it is taking you away from what you would normally be doing. And also you know, guys are banged up and you still need that healing time before you're going to go back out there. So right away, I saw in front of me just how hard. So kudos, tip of the chapeau here to the Pittsburgh Penguins, because what they did is not easy. Now, that said, I also, the other big revelation for me is now that you've done it, you've unlocked the code here. I think there's, for me, that the one thing that the other big light bulb moment was, you know what, I did not understand what went into this, but now I do understand what went into it. And if I do, so does TJ Oshie, so does Alex Ovechkin, et cetera. Those are the guys who did the heavy lifting. They know what it takes. I think you have a better chance of winning it again within a 2 to 5 year period than you did of winning it the first time. And I think the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Chicago Blackhawks, and the LA Kings proved that out.
Well, it gets in your blood, and Alan has said this over and over. It gets addicting, and you just want that feeling. That's A. And then the B part, it always kind of takes me back to when my childhood team, the Islanders, after they had won their 4 straight, and they were playing in their 5th, and it was against Edmonton again, who they had beaten for their 4th. It was the start of the Gretzky-Messier dynasty. And I remember the story of Edmonton walking past the Islanders dressing room after their fourth straight when they swept Edmonton, and Gretzky walked by and saw a bunch of dudes wrapped up with ice, drinking beer, but physically and mentally exhausted. And I remember him and Messier, you know, this is what the story is they said, that's what we need to look like at the end of a Stanley Cup run. You can't be the fancy guys having fun like the Caps were for a decade. You need to be the physically exhausted, mentally run down, but still finding the resolve to do what had to be done. And now that they've seen that, now that they understand that, I'm with you. They want that. They know how to do it, and the talent's still there. I don't know if they could do it again, but they certainly know what it takes now, and I can't wait to see them defend their title.
Yeah, they should have a couple of good cracks at it here this season, next season, and maybe even a season or two beyond that as well. And, you know, if they're able to sustain this and take a couple of two or three good whacks at it, then we're talking, we're at that point where we would start expecting some of the guys we were talking about earlier in the podcast to start turning up, you know, in Washington by that point. So, like you say, and you know, when you look at two other things stand out here too. I don't know of a recent Cup champion that comes back almost as intact as the 2018-19 Capitals will. They'll be missing goaltender Philip Grubauer and fourth-line center Jay Beagle. Everyone
heart,
else...
Heart and soul, not fourth-line center. Heart and soul, Jay Beagle.
No, yeah, no. True enough. They're going to miss a lot about both of those guys, I think, and more than just what... on the ice, because both of those guys are great human beings as well. And, you know, anytime you take any one person out of any situation like that, you are altering the chemistry. And so they had a great chemistry, I thought, on and off the ice, really the last couple of years, but never better than this past season. So the challenge will be to recreate that with, you know, just a little tweak here, tweak there. But the other thing, they're the first team in 35 years, first Cup-winning team in 35 years, to have three draft picks in the top 50 the year after, or the draft after they won the Cup. So even though their first pick wasn't until 31, they got three of the top 47 picks. And, you know, all three of those guys look pretty good today, and Alexei Fervari and Cody Clark.
Yeah, Cody Clark did score a goal, too, that I'm sure his dad would have been proud of. Although when I tweeted out and had a link of video to the goal, I said his dad would be proud. Ryan Billy, our producer, said, I think he'd have been more proud if he just dump-trucked the goalie, too. So there could be something to that with Wendell Clark. But, Vogues, I appreciate it, man. No one could, you know, give us in-depth from the prospects to the inside on the Cup run and everything in between like you. So I appreciate you taking some time out, and can't wait for Friday to get going again.
Yep. It'll be here before you know it. It is here before we know it, and yeah, hopefully it'll be another fun, exciting season with a positive result at the end. But either way, I think we're all looking forward to it.
No doubt. I'm not making any vacation plans until after June, so I'm just going to wait that one out. All right, Mike Bogle, appreciate your time.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
All right, so there's Mike Bogle, Vogues Caps from Twitter. Such a great follow, and he knows. He knows everything about this organization, top to bottom, soup to nuts, as they say. And some of those great stories about things that happened. I saw Brooks Orpik out at one of the informal skates last week, and I asked him how it was, and he was like, I was tamer than my first time.
Sure.
You know, I'm older now, I'm more mature. He goes, but shit, that cup was beat up by the time I saw it. And that thing takes a beating during the summer.
Yeah, I would love to have a conversation with Phil Pritchard.
Yeah.
The guy who, the keeper of the cup, because... As we all know, they're not allowed to do cup stands anymore. I'd like to know how I've always heard stories through the years about some of these epic parties, and you know, you always hear about the Stars and the Pantera party, and I think I've thrown off a deck and the whole thing. Yeah, I'd like to see where this summer has rated in terms of the amount of destruction that thing has seen.
Orpik said, he's like, I think we were pretty wild, but compared to like those Stars, he specifically brought up the Stars. He's like, I don't know if there's anything compared to like that and the old Oilers.
Right.
But they got after it pretty good. And all I know is Brooks Orpik said that thing was banged up by the time he saw it.
Well, you know, it's a different kind of banged up. I don't think it had to deal with the cup stands. And, you know, every day there was a 200-pound dude putting all of his weight on it, you know. Or somebody whose mom did it. Was it
Backstrom?
Backstrom's mom. Yeah.
It's great. And I think it was dropped somewhere along the way.
There's no way it wasn't dropped.
I think
somewhere.
It was dropped. Yeah. But man, I'm with you. If you could get a couple of these guys,
I wish we had like a before and after.
Right.
Here's what it looked like on June 7th.
Right.
Here's what it looks
before
like
we go and do
on
work
September
on it.
September 15th.
Right, because they're going to have to do work on that to get that thing back right. But I would love to see the before, maybe during, and then an after. But I would love to get guys off the record because no one's going to tell a real story on the record.
Right.
But to really, like, I get that you all ate ice cream and cereal and all that. I want to hear the story where you were like,
yeah.
Am I going to get in trouble for that?
You know, am I like, going to get deported for that?
Like, something bad just happened. But so here we are, Sunday. There's a preseason game. You've never experienced this as a Caps fan. Looking forward to a season of defending the cup.
Yeah, I have no idea how to feel or what to expect, but I know I'm happy. It's like gleefully skipping into the season, whereas, you know, in years past, you know, and not just, you know, with any, it doesn't matter if it's a hot Caps or whatever team you root for. Anytime you enter the season, there are question marks and you don't know how they're going to do. And man, hopefully this guy works.
Right.
I mean, whatever. Yeah. We won the cup, man. Like, and it's practically the same team.
Right.
So I don't even have, like, I don't know.
Right. I just like, they won the cup, but I'm ready to take another run at this.
Sure.
I just told Vogues, I'm not making any vacation plans until at least July. Like, I'm not booking anything.
Yeah. My wife is thrilled with that one. But yeah.
You know, you're like, on hold, man.
Yeah.
Because this team absolutely could make another run at it.
And really, for me, preseason's great. Everyone tune in. You know,
we'll have all the preseason games.
Watch our coverage, all the whole thing. It's all about that night, October 3rd.
Oof.
I mean,
that whole day.
That whole day is going to be awesome. And if you watch us and follow us, we are going to blow it out in a way we've never done anything before. So stay tuned for that. But it's going to be an awesome night. I'm so jealous that you get to be there. And once again, I'm left behind in Bethesda to miss out on another.
I'll take a lot of pictures. And
no, it'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe I'll Facebook Live my whole night so you can watch that.
Anyway,
it's going to be.
But that's what I'm.
It's going to be.
I will. Epic. There will be tears in the conference room here when I watch that thing.
It's going to be. It's going to be epic. If Allen cried the night they won it, I'm betting Allen might shed a tear the night they raised that banner.
There's not going to be. I mean, 20,000 people are going to be looking up to the sky.
That's
going to
be great.
Coming down. It's going to be awesome.
All right, so this is our new podcast, Capitals Talk Podcast. It is the only podcast we'll have this year. So it'll be me. It'll be Ryan, Allen, Locker, Joe B. Smoking Al, JJ, whatever voices we have that cover the Caps will be involved throughout the year, but we've just kind of like streamlined it now to one Caps podcast. So please subscribe, tell your friends to subscribe, write reviews, rate it, do the whole thing. It all helps get the word out that this is the NBC Sports Washington podcast of your Stanley Cup champion, Washington Capitals. We will do it each and every night after a game. So the next morning, the podcast will be there to wrap up the game. And then every Tuesday, at least, will be a new episode, a fresh new episode. We hope to bring players on, coaches on, administrators, whoever we can to be a part of the podcast. So we want you to get involved and just enjoy. So please, again, subscribe, write a review, leave a rating, get the word out on the new Capitals Talk podcast. So Thursday's our day with the players. Friday is media day. Sunday's the preseason, and away we go with the defending the title. Hope you are excited as we are. We are looking forward to it, and we can't wait. So for Ryan Billy, I'm Rob Carlin. We'll see you when the Caps hit the ice.